just wondering how to begin, and remembering that one of my friends, her Zen teacher, came from Japan to teach at the center that I associated with in Devon many years ago. It was a smaller building back then, and it's quite beautiful. The teacher was told that the retreats are held in silence, and for the first day he didn't say anything. That's so beautiful. And then they said, actually, you can say something. You know, we're doing it together, right? He's just one of the practitioners also. So we have today, from now until, what time do we finish, Elizabeth? 4:30. Come on in. It's okay. Come on in. Till 4:30 to practice, to look into our heart, mind, and to see what's possible for us. To see what's possible. And I have a theme today, which I don't know how important the theme was to any of you in particular, but that's what I'll be using as a framework for the day. Anyone remember the theme? I wonder if that's actually, you know, if you come to practice because you love to practice, you come because you're curious, if you're new, or if actually, no, I really want to look into what the Buddha had to say about the goal of practice. You know what I'd like to do before we get down to work is rearrange the room a little bit. It's a nice number. We're not too many in here. We're not too crowded. And I would like to give the opportunity for people on chairs to have a little bit more room around them. I'm also going to take a chair because I'll need one as well. Let's put the chairs that aren't being used away, if we can, somewhere. And those on chairs, let's make a shape where you have a little bit more room and we're a little bit more together, so I don't have to look quite so much to the edges. Let's take a moment to seeing you and feeling the group a little bit. So, the theme of the day is practice, is waking up. All the Buddha's teachings point to waking up. And waking up goes by different names in different circles. Waking up. And just check if that's what you want. We'll clarify that. We'll clarify that if it's not what you want, and we can do something different with the day. But waking up. Awakening. The Buddha pointed to awakening to something that we're normally asleep to. It's a waking up from something. The word realization is used for this kind of knowing. Realization, to make something real, realize, to be known for oneself. The word enlightenment is used in various circles. And the word in the tradition from the original texts, which some of you may know very well, some of you maybe it's new, is the word nibbana. The Buddha's teachings are pointing to this, and this only actually, which he called the complete ending of suffering. Complete ending of suffering. So what I hope to do during the day is point to some of the windows and the ways we could look at this. What is he pointing to for us? What is he pointing to for us? Not just for other kinds of people, right? But it's for human beings to be realized by each one for themselves. What is he pointing to? But I would really like us to ground it in our direct. So that, yes, we can look a little bit at the concepts around it because they're useful, they're interesting, they can be inspiring. But the concepts don't take us there, as with anything. the thought of your mother, as one teacher says, is not your mother. So all these teachings, he invites us, he's very practical, he invites us right into the presence of the immediacy of this heart, body, mind, because this is where we wake up, not with a different body, not with a different mind, not with a different history even, or a better personality, but this one right here where we can see the process of how suffering comes to be and we can start the process. One level it's a process, another level it's absolutely immediate. Both are true, but we can begin that process of one of my favorite metaphors for nirvana, which I'll start with for you, is translated as unbinding, the unbinding. Many translations, many ways, many windows, many metaphors the Buddha used. But let's start with just that word, unbinding. So take a breath with the word. Is there anything you'd like to unbind? Anything ever feel bound for you? And it's a mind training. We're talking, the Buddha is pointing to training of the mind. And mind isn't just this, it includes this, it's this also. In the, apparently in a number of Asian languages, but certainly in the languages of the tradition, often when you would speak to someone about their mind, they would say, yeah, my mind. It's all of it. It's the whole sensitive, receptive, intelligent, sometimes hard and concrete and pained and excruciating and sometimes open and expansive and noble and bright. As many, many conditions pass through this mind. And what is the unbinding? So just breathe with the word. I like this way to begin because it's quite visceral. It's not just intellectual. Intellectual is beautiful. But always bright, we'll include that dimension. But it's also visceral. We feel our bondage sometimes, don't you? You feel your binding sometimes. Sometimes we feel our limitation, we bump into it. It's like, I just did that thing and it doesn't express my deepest knowing. What I just said to you. Nasty thing I just said, or we may just feel the limitation of, I know there's more potential here for being a human. Right? We can sense it. Why can we sense it? Because it's true, actually. It's true that this heart-mind is potential, is pure potential of things as yet unseen for us. And yet the bondage is that we repeat the same cycles. You know how it goes, that new cycle. You've probably saw Groundhog Day if you're old enough, which I think that's like, whenever that was, 15 years ago, you know, where he just, it's the same morning, he wakes up and it's the same thing. Not the external same thing, that's fine. Routine and structure and the monks and the Buddha did the same thing year after year. It's not that, necessarily. It's something about how we experience this human being amongst structure, form, bodies, minds, each other, unbound. Notice what happens. Any responses to that first window into where we're heading? Into unbinding. What comes for you when you hear that word, feel that word, sense that in you which is either drawn to that, knows, has some kind of inkling that that's possible, has maybe glimpsed that, has really maybe seen that in different experiences at times. What does it take you right now? And my encouragement to stay as immediate as you can might make you curious, might make you quiet, might make your heart touched, might bring up absolute fear and horror. Just know. What is the quality right now? What is here for you right now? Because one thing about Nibbana, when the Buddha speaking about the goal, he said it is here and now. Timeless. It's not later. There is a path. There is processes. And at the same time, this Dharma is here and now, timeless, to be experienced for each one, for themselves. So any responses from what happens when you hear the word? Because one I'll stop and leave room in a moment, but one thing that's important is that, you know, we can't do Nibbana. That's why it's free. We can't construct ourselves into it, or, you know, it's an unbinding. It's an undoing. So we can't, and it's timeless, we can't then go, oh, well, you know, later, maybe. It's radical. It doesn't belong to the realm of time. So, any responses of quiet? Might be just a word, it might be a
connection.
You sense some connection, what with, Wendy?
Just a coming home and seeing the rope, see the kind of fibers.
She's doing this, you can see the bindings in a sense. So something in you just recognize.
Seeing, waking to that, kind of having a feeling the opportunity to connect with what it is that's causing that.
Right.
Binding.
Thank you.
Word.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's it. One of the implications of this way of looking at Nibbana is we can start to sense our own binding. We can sense when it arises, how it feels. And I'll give some examples. But just even if it's sometimes a visceral sense of our own binding, sometimes a sense of, oh, dissatisfaction, dis-ease, pain in the heart, something that doesn't feel completely able to be itself, actually. So studying the bindings, studying the self, the limited sense of self, studying the self to forget the self, as Zen Master Dogen. I'm responding if Wendy is in the lineage of Zen Master Dogen. To know, to study the Buddha ways, to study the self is to forget the self. And to study the bindings is for them to start to loosen, for them to start to, we start to see how they come to be and other options. Any other responses? Yeah.
I just feel it's also good if you're really, if you don't think about it real well, and then you have bad things, you have things that you go
dumbfounded. Okay, I want to encourage you to stay with the dumb part of the dumbfounded, right? Just take a breath. So what it brings up, it sounds like, oh my God, that's a little bit impossible. There's certain things I have to do and certain conventions I have to follow.
Well, it's not even
to
do all this.
you know, there are many benefits from practice. That, you know, there are many, many benefits from practice. I'm pointing to what the Buddha is all in the service of. But it is really interesting to check, do I actually want that? Stay with it. Ask your heart. Right, just a while we do the introduction here, just take a breath with your chest. Is it something that interests me? Breathe with the body, breathe with the heart. And I'm just going to leave you with that for the moment, see where you go. Any other responses? So I can offer a suggestion about how that can be. Firstly, yeah, from the practice point of view, just follow all those movements from expansion to contraction. My experience is that when we open and expand a little bit and get inspired or we have an opening, a couple of things can happen. One is that the knee-jerk bindings, in a sense, will, like elastic bands, they kind of pull back into place for familiarity. Sometimes it's more that as we open, what is bound can start to show. It can start to be handled. That feels more accurate for you, yeah. So in the little bit more room, it's like, whoa, oh, here's something. Uh-huh, I can feel that. That which sees the bondage is not bound, right? Resting in that knowing, and this pattern can start to be handled. Yes.
It made me feel like my muscles were really suddenly letting go. Then it makes me want to cry as well, sort of mixture of those two.
Yeah. Thank you. So our friend here expressed a more like a physical version. Here's something released, and then the heart wanted to cry. Is that okay by you?
Yes, that's what's okay.
Good. And is it okay by you that the tears are there?
Yes, it felt sort of like okay. Yes, it didn't feel horrible, because it just seemed to be a gushing up feeling.
Yeah. I think tears can be one of the expressions of release at times. Right? Yeah.
When the idea of liberation or enlightenment comes up for me, it follows a very demanding self-identity that just stops.
To try and be an enlightened self?
No, to try and... to be the opposite. It's kind of like, it's like a natural sort of...
Like
as soon as I see the possibility of freedom, there's a big sense of, no, you must attain this.
Right, it's got a bit of a stick with it, or a...
I can see that they're both moving together. So there's just massive resistance to it.
Great. Good. Thank you. Yeah. So similar. It's a similar thing. You know, so what I would encourage those who see that today, very, very normal, there's something, we're really drawn to our potentiality because it seems like we are, right? And it involves various unknown gates, usually. And resistance can arise. Very, very common to know that. And to keep checking in with the heart and seeing, yeah, what's the heart? Is this my heart's desire for freedom? And it also points to the fact that there isn't one person here. It's not just one thing that I'm inspired and I love practice, and other times it's like, oh, no, I don't like it. It's like different senses of self can keep showing up. The freedom is to see all of that as well. Well, here's the one that really doesn't want freedom. Okay, you're welcome too. That can be seen too. Any last comment before we realise Nibbana? Thank you. Yeah, like it's going to ask you to relinquish what you love. Mm. Good, and then what's the kind of reaction that comes?
Anger.
Yeah, don't tell me I have to. Right, as if someone's telling us you have to look like this. Thank you. I mean, yes, we inherit the models from the tradition of the beautiful monastics, absolutely, who have followed a path of relinquishing the home life. It's true, in terms of the modelling. There's a lot of examples of people in the home life who wake up also. And I think what's important is that we're not trying to realize, you know, and this is what you can clarify, where there's an image, an idealized image of who I have to look like in order for a certain understanding to come. And that's an idea, and to keep faith right where you are. Who knows? Who knows exactly how your path's going to unfold? I don't. I don't have an image of a shaved head or a, you know, really keeping it straight close to you, because we have to be where we are and relinquish even ideas of what we should look like. Yeah. Okay. So, you'll be practicing in silence, so letting each other have your solitude today, not engaging in conversation with each other. I'd like to know who's here in terms of your practice background, if you're new, if you're not new, so let me ask a couple of questions. Anybody here primarily consider themselves a beginner to all forms of meditation? Okay, great, welcome. Anybody sort of see themselves primarily arriving here through the trainings of the mindfulness world? The 8-week mindfulness programs. Great. Beautiful. Welcome. Thank you. Anybody here willing to admit to being an old timer with the insight meditation world? Yeah. What's the missing question? Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Who've studied and practiced other types of meditation, not insight meditation, or the mindfulness world. Okay. Great. Let's just hear a couple of names of what types, like Zen people. A few Zen people. Indian meditation practices people. And maybe you throw out the words. What are the words? What schools or styles? Tibetan. Okay, sorry, yes, I forgot the Tibetans. How could I do that? Yeah, Tibetan Dzogchen practice. Okay. Christian. Okay, thank you. From the Christian heritage and the contemplative practices. You. Anybody else? See, there's a lot of richness right here. A lot of richness. Okay.